Well, if you knew you only had a short time to live, and you were to write a letter to a dear friend and a fellow believer in Christ, what would you write? Well, as we open our Bibles and we look at 66 books that we find there, one of the books was written with this in mind or in this manner. And the book that I'm referring to is the book of 2 Timothy. And though we often call it a book, it was actually a letter. It was a letter from the Apostle Paul, who was writing from prison, and he knew that his time was short. And he was writing to a dear friend, a dear brother in Christ named Timothy. And over the next few weeks, few months, however long this takes us, we're going to go through this book together, the book of 2 Timothy. So if you would take your Bible this morning and open to 2 Timothy, if you're using the church Bibles, you can find that on page 842. And some of you may be wondering, well, why are we doing 2 Timothy when we didn't do 1 Timothy, right? Because if you're like me and you like to see things in order, done properly, all I can say is two things. Number one is after much prayer, and I'm thankful God, I feel like God finally led me to this, because I don't like not knowing where I'm going. I feel like God is just leading us here as a church family to look into this letter of the Apostle Paul. And number two is this, you have a homework assignment. And guess what that is? Read 1 Timothy. Okay, you can read 1 Timothy on your own and learn about that. And actually, as we go through this second letter to Timothy, we'll be going back, I'm sure, often to what Paul had to say in his first letter. Well, let's look at this morning at verses 1 and 2 of this letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, today I basically want to lay a foundation to this letter. And to do that, we really need to get to know who these guys were, Paul and Timothy. And we want to look at their lives. We want to look at how they came to Christ and how God worked in their hearts. And so today I want to begin with two questions. Who was Paul and who was Timothy? And then what can we learn from their lives? How can we apply some of that to our own lives today so that we might live lives that are sold out for Jesus Christ? Well, first question is, who was Paul? I think most of you are very familiar with this man called Paul. Paul was born into a Jewish family who descended from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was born in the city of Tarsus, which made him a Roman citizen at that time. Paul would go on to live much of his life, not in Tarsus, but in Jerusalem, where he would study under a man by the name of Gamaliel, who was a great teacher of the law at the time. And Paul sat under his feet, and Paul became very educated, and Paul actually became a Pharisee. This was Paul. This was his life as a young man. We first see Paul mentioned in the book of Acts. At this point, he's called Saul in Acts chapter 7. And the first time we hear about Saul or Paul, he is witnessing the stoning of Stephen. If you remember that account, the Christ follower Stephen is being stoned for his faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us this, that while this stoning was happening, people had set their cloaks or their garments at the feet of a man named Saul. Saul was there witnessing this event. And the Bible says not only did he witness the event, but he was giving consent. He was saying to the people who were stoning Stephen, way to go. That's it, people. Kill him. That was Saul. Listen to what else we see about Saul. Acts 8, verse 3. Says this, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Though we have no record of Paul actually killing Christians, we do know this. Paul had the heart of a murderer, you could say. Paul was always consenting to the death of Christians. This was Paul. Paul says this about himself in 1 Timothy 1:13. Paul says, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief." This was Paul, or Saul, certainly not a lover of Jesus Christ at this point in his life. But one day, by God's grace, something happened. I think many of you know what happened, but let's read that passage together. Acts chapter 9, a great event in Paul's life. Acts 9, 1 through 6 says this, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way," which meant followers of Jesus, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" As we continue to read that account, we know that Paul was unable to see for 3 days. But finally, by the grace of God, the scales fell from his eyes and he was able to see, not only physically, but he was able to see spiritually. He came to believe in Jesus Christ. He put his faith in Jesus Christ. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And before long, Paul was in those very same synagogues telling the people, "Jesus is the Son of God." Amazing transformation in the life of Paul. And the rest, you could say, is history. Paul went on to spread the gospel throughout the known world. He devoted his life to just preaching the gospel. If you were breathing, he wanted to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. He suffered much, much for the gospel. And I think it's safe to say that Paul was one of the most tenacious, devoted followers of Christ ever to live. And we are so blessed that we have some of his writings in our Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit today, that we get to read. What a precious and precious thing that is. And so it is with great assurance that Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Paul, an apostle, really one called of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "This much I know, it was the will of God that he called me, that he saved me, and he called me to preach the gospel. And I know this, that my life is just about over, but I know this, that there's more life to come, that everlasting life is mine in Jesus Christ, and that's the promise that I cling to." This was the heart of Paul as he wrote to Timothy. Well, how about Timothy? How about the man Timothy? We don't have as much information about Timothy, but we know a few things. We hear about Timothy again in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, verse 1. And there we read this, "He," referring to Paul, "came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek." As we continue in 2 Timothy, we'll learn that Timothy's mom was named Eunice and he had a grandmother named Lois. We get some of that background there. And we don't know the details of Timothy's conversion. We don't know who led him to Christ. There's speculation that maybe it was his mother or grandmother, maybe it was Paul or another apostle. We don't know, but we know this much, that Timothy was a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And so as Paul went on his missionary journeys and he came to the city of Lystra and he spent time with Timothy, he could see that Timothy had a genuine, humble faith in Jesus Christ. And so he said to Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, hey, why don't you come along? Why don't you join me in spreading the gospel?" And that's exactly what Timothy did. And so as we read the book of Acts, we see Paul and Timothy go out. And at times, Timothy would join another apostle, and they would remain in a city, and Paul would go to a different city, and eventually they would hook up again, and they would share what God is doing in this city and that city. One thing is clear, Paul had a great trust in this man, Timothy. Paul was a mentor. Paul was like a, quote, spiritual father to this man, Timothy. There was a great connection that these two men had. There was a sweet relationship that Paul and Timothy had. And we see this in the book of Philippians. Let's look at this. Philippians 2, verses 19 through 22. Again, Paul writing here to the believers says this, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." It gives you a little insight into the man, Timothy. So as we go through this letter together, some things to keep in mind is this. Number one, Paul is near the end of his life. Number two, Paul and Timothy had already spent so much time together in the trenches as servants of Jesus Christ. There was a deep bond, a deep love and respect that they had for each other. And even though Paul had written to Timothy a few years earlier, Papa Paul says, "There's a few more things, Timothy, that are on my heart that I just want to share with you, my dear son in the faith, my beloved son." This is the background or setting to this letter. Well, as we think about these two individuals, Paul and Timothy, what can we apply to our own lives today? I think there's a lot when you get into it, but I just want to look at two things today that we can apply and take home. Number one is this: God changes lives. God changes lives. And we certainly see this so powerfully in the life of Paul, don't we? Because Paul was so adamantly opposed to anything connected to Jesus. Paul actually describes himself as having this raging fury when he saw Christians and what they were doing and how they were living and this message of Christ. He was totally opposed to that message. He was so entrenched in his, quote, religion that he had a deaf ear to the voice of God. A deaf ear, that is, until he heard the voice of Christ on that Damascus road. And on that road, God changed his heart. Well, nearly 2,000 years later, you know what? God is still changing hearts. Every day, there are people who are going from the kingdom of darkness, where Satan reigns, to the kingdom of the light, the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And God is changing all kinds of people with all kinds of backgrounds. Some maybe have been guilty of murder, and not just being a bystander, but first degree murder. And even though they may be sitting in a prison somewhere today, if they've come to Christ, then you know what? They are spiritually set free. The chains of sin have been broken off by the grace of God, and God is still in the business of changing hearts today. Could be a murderer. It could be, on the other end of the extreme, the quote religious person who is trusting in their own goodness, who's trusting in their own ability to do good things and to somehow please God on their own. And they're wrapped up in their own self-righteousness like Paul was. And God is able to set those people free as well by his amazing grace. Listen to what Paul says about his life in Acts 20:24, a beautiful verse. He says this, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Paul says, I just want to do this one thing, testify, which is what speak with our mouth, testify to the gospel of God's grace. Because Paul would say, I was a man who was bound up in human righteousness. I was a guy, I'll tell you what, if you were to try to find someone who is obedient to the law and zealous for the law, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who was not more devoted than I was. And I'm not bragging, I'm just saying. That's the way it was. That's the man I was. I was putting my hope and my obedience to the law of Moses. And Christ set me free. He totally changed my mind. Why? Because I realized this, that when I was confronted with the perfect Christ, the holy Christ, and I was confronted with my own unfaithfulness, with my own sinfulness, in light of the holy Christ, I realized this, I need the grace of Jesus Christ. I need Jesus in my life. Because all my striving, all my effort will never measure up to God's perfect standard. And when that day hit me, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I realized I need Jesus Christ, and I've never been the same, so I'm going to testify to this truth, the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. And may I today echo the very words of Paul that may I do the same thing, simply testify to the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus has changed my life, and he can change your life as well. And I know he's already changed many of your lives. Praise God for that. But today, if he hasn't changed your life, then know this, he can change your life. And it does not matter what your background is. You could be from a religious background. You could be from a non-religious background. You could have been the biggest party animal going, or you could have been the man who tried to live so squeaky clean that everybody thought you had it going on and you didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't matter. All of us need the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives to be saved and to be forgiven. We all need that. You see, it does not matter all your religious activity, all your morality, all your random acts of kindness. They will mean nothing on the day of judgment when you stand before God, because we all need his grace. We need to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you today, has God changed your life? Has he done that? I've heard many people say, you know, I've just done too many bad things. I've done so many horrible things that God could never forgive me. And you know, that has kind of a humble ring to it, doesn't it? But you know what? That is a really, very proud statement. Why? Because you're telling God, your grace isn't big enough to cover my stuff. Your love really isn't big enough to cover the things that I've done. What are we doing when we say that? We're calling God a liar. Because God says, no, my grace can cover it. My love is big enough, people, because I sent my precious, my best, my only son to die for you so that you could be forgiven. Don't reject that grace. Don't reject that gift. Don't spurn that gift. Believe that gift. Believe in Jesus Christ. Number two is that God desires that we be connected with other believers. Now, obviously, Paul knew a lot of people. And as you read his letters, he names all kinds of people that he knew. But I'm sure that there were only some that Paul could have a deep connection with. And Timothy was one of those men that he had that connection with. And so, too, we cannot have deep relationships with every Christian on the planet. We just can't do that, even in a church our size. It's tough to have a real deep connection and relationship with everybody here. But let me ask you, is there one or two or maybe more that you have a bond with, a connection, a fellow believer in Christ that you can just connect with? Do you have that? It's important that you have that. And I realize that in our day, that can be very difficult. Why? Because we tend to, run here, run there, run everywhere all the time. And we don't get a lot of downtime at times. And sometimes we just want to take a night at home and just chill with the family. And don't feel guilty for staying home one night and chilling with the family. Because in a day when families are being torn apart, we need to spend that quality time with our family. That's very, very important. And I realize that also that many of you, we're all at different stages in our lives. How many of you have a baby or a toddler around? A few of you, right? How many of you used to have a baby or a toddler around?
I did.
You did? You want to share something, Johnny? But how many of us look back on those days and say, how in the world did I ever do it? Because you know how much attention a little child requires. You're just so much of your attention is focused on them. And so it may be hard if you're in that season of your life to form some tight relationships and connect with others. But for others, maybe there's a lot more time that you have on your hands. And it may just mean that we have to take the effort. We need to put forth an effort to make those connections and reach out to others in the body of Christ. I'm reminded of that great analogy of the coal taken out of the fire, and I'm sure many of you have heard that before. When you have a nice hot blazing fire, but love fires, can I get an amen? All right. All right, fire, yes, fire's good. So after the fire burns down and there's some coals sitting there, a bunch of coals, if you take one of the coals out and set it aside, how quickly does it cool down? Pretty quick. As opposed to if it stays in the fire, if it stays with the other coals, it stays warmer longer. So too in the body of Christ. If we remove ourselves from the fellowship, from the body of Christ, from the fire of those who know Jesus and love Jesus, we're going to cool down a lot quicker. We need to continue to meet together and to be together. And just coming here today is one way that you can connect with other believers. But I pray that it's much deeper than just a Sunday gathering. Maybe you need to join a small group. Maybe you need to just take a night a week and go out for coffee with a fellow believer. Whatever it may be, I'm not going to give you a magic formula. That's between you and God. But are you connected? Is there fellowship that you have with other believers? Paul and Timothy had such a deep, sweet fellowship. Not only do we need fellowship, but as we think of Paul and Timothy's connection, we also need to see the mentoring that took place. Paul mentored Timothy. If you're here today and you have any spiritual maturity in your life, is there someone that you could mentor? Is there a Timothy who just needs someone to come alongside and encourage and build up in the faith in your life? And I'm not just speaking to the men, but to the ladies as well. Is there a lady that you could come alongside and encourage and build up in the faith? This is what Titus 2 talks about. You can read that as well, along with 1 Timothy for homework. just being that godly example to someone else. Pray about that. Ask God to maybe show you. If you've been walking with the Lord for a while and you feel like you're not perfect, you know that, but you feel strong enough where you could encourage someone who's maybe not further along in the faith, that you would find that individual and seek to foster that connection and that bond. Well, as we looked at Paul and Timothy and we looked at our own lives today, we're all again at different places, and you may feel like a Paul, you may feel like a Timothy, you may feel like neither. The thing I want to close with today is this: all of us, no matter who we are, is we need to keep our eyes on the one who really matters. We need to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be the one we focus on. Let him be the one we testify about. Let him be the one that motivates us toward love and good deeds. Let him be the one who does that. And as we are sold out for Christ, I pray that grace, mercy, and peace would be multiplied to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage of scripture that was inspired by your Holy Spirit, by your Apostle Paul, who was totally opposed to Christ, but by your grace he was changed. And God, we thank you for your activity in his life. And God, we want to thank you for your activity in our lives. We may not have been beaten up Christians, but we were all rebellious. We're all heading in the wrong direction when your grace hit us. So God, we thank you for your amazing grace. And Lord, I pray that each one here today would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they would know in their hearts that they need grace. And if they don't have that grace, that they would look to the cross and look to Jesus as that way to grace. That they would believe in Jesus. God, I pray that you would just speak to each of us today, Lord, as we leave here today. May we just really search our hearts and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be in the game. Lord, who can I minister to? Who can I maybe mentor? Who can I pray for? Who can I encourage? Lord, help us to be active in our faith. Oh God, give us the courage, give us the strength to live each day like it's our last, with passion and tenacity like the Apostle Paul. And we ask for your grace in this, and we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.